It is a beautiful day the Lord has made, and I hope you're rejoicing and being glad in it. I am so thankful for the opportunity to better speak with you today, and I get to talk about my most favorite topic next to Jesus, and that's pointing other people to Jesus, as far as how to share our faith and tell other people about Jesus. So attention, attention, attention. I love attention, but I love attention to point other people in the right direction to believe and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I do love it. It's not something I have got to do. It is something that I get to do it. And I can't imagine anything any greater. I hope to encourage you today in sharing your faith, caring for the souls of others. Do you remember the person that shared Jesus with you? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, remember back to those people that sow and plant and watered, but God gives the increase. Those folks that point you to Jesus. I'm so thankful. For me, it was church, growing up in church, a Christian school. I went to Wake Christian Academy. And my first grade teacher, yes, Mrs. Story, and yes, my second grade teacher, Mrs. Craig, each pointed me to Jesus. And I can remember having the gospel shared clearly, knowing that I was a sinner, knowing I needed a Savior, and being under conviction, even at the age of 7, and putting off making that decision to believe and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And we did something in our classroom. We held hands in a circle up front, and each morning we'd give prayer requests. It was about 3/4 of the way through the school year, around Easter time, and my prayer request was that I would accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I came under conviction that day ready. Many of my classmates I'd graduate with later prayed for me that morning. And my second grade teacher, she took God's word and she opened to my favorite Bible verse. Would anyone like to guess what my favorite Bible verse is? I heard it. Ding, ding, ding. John 3:16. You are correct. It is my favorite Bible verse. She opened to it and we sat down in the hall in the elementary building at Wake Christian Academy, and she opened that verse and she put my name in it. For God so loved Bob that he gave his only begotten son, that if Bob would believe in him, Bob would not perish, but Bob would have everlasting life. That it was a promise. I could believe and accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and not perish, but have everlasting life. And I did pray to believe and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior that morning. Growing up in church and Christian school, I learned a lot about the Bible. But if someone had asked me how to get to heaven, I knew I was going, but I would have turned 10 different shades of red and stuttered and stammered a little bit, not knowing exactly how to explain it to somebody else. And in the 10th grade, they offered a class called Child Evangelism Fellowship as a Bible elective in my school. And we cut out the flannel graph figures and did the flannel boards. And we were taught how to use a little book of colors called a wordless book. And we went over in the elementary of our school once a week and shared weekly Bible clubs. And we were also required to do it once a week outside of school. And so my neighborhood was Chavis Heights because I lived on a family farm. I lived in a house my grandfather built that I was raised in and my mother was raised in. I was raised in, my children being raised in. So homegrown right here from Garner. And so going to a neighborhood, it was one of the top three at that time, Chavis Heights, Walnut Terrace, Halifax Court, that got in the news for all of the wrong reasons. And I fell in love sharing Jesus. And they didn't care what color I was. In fact, I showed up and I cared. And that's the way it is with most people. If you show love and you show care, if you're concerned for them and you're willing to speak the truth in love and point them in the right direction, many times God's already prepared the soil. He's already prepared the hearts. Sometimes they're already longing, searching, waiting. If someone would just share with them hope, good news, how they could be forgiven, how they could be saved, how they could know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I love being able to point people to Jesus and train other people to do that. Wake Christian Academy gives me their 7th and 8th grade Bible classes each year in September to train them for a week and how to use the wordless book, and then they get to come out to the state fair for one day excused absence on the Good News Express to share Jesus. You may have seen the Good News Express at the state fair between the Dorton Arena and the Jim Graham building doing the greatest story ever told. Well, one of the things when it comes to teaching someone else how to share their faith, which I hope to accomplish two goals this morning, and that being one, of you would be, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you'd be better prepared in sharing your faith with somebody else. Some of the things to look for, things to clear up, do's and don'ts. And the other is, most of all, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you might believe and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior even today, that you wouldn't put it off a day longer. Well, in training other people how to share their faith, there's an obstacle to overcome. Sometimes we have the idea of witnessing to someone. Do you love Jesus? Do you want to go to heaven? You want to pray this prayer? And that's not witnessing. That's railroading, manipulation. You can have every child nodding their head, ready to pray whatever prayer you want them to pray, and have no idea why. So being sure to be clear, if there was a prayer in the Bible, a magic prayer, that you could just repeat these words after me, and poof, you'd be a Christian. Well, we'd start every class by saying, okay, boys and girls, repeat after me. Dear God, and we would tell them all that you were saved and you're Christian. There is no magic prayer in the Bible that you pray and poof, you're a Christian. Just repeat words after me. If I can talk you into it, anybody else can talk you out of it. I can't believe and accept Jesus for anybody else but me. I can't save myself, so I can't possibly save anybody else. I can point you in the right direction. But even at the age of 7, I called on Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I love pointing other people to Jesus. When it comes to thinking about sharing our faith, I want to use an illustration. Have any of you ever played softball or baseball before? Even on the playground in elementary. Anybody ever done that before? You get the bat, you know, and you step up to the plate and you get ready. And if you're like, you already have an idea of what success is. And you've already prayed about it before you got to the plate. And you get the plate and it's, Lord, just don't let me get hit by the ball. If I just don't get hit by the ball, and that's your idea of success. Anybody like that? Okay, that was my idea. Yeah, it was just, Lord, don't let me get hit by the ball. For some people, they have the idea of success, the Babe Ruth thing. You know, home run. Nothing less will do. They've got to hit the home run out of the park, watch it go and run the bases, and that's the only their idea of success. And for some, it was just, Lord, just let me get on first base. If I could just get on first base. And you came to the plate with a preconceived idea of what success was, right? Well, some people do that in witnessing. They have the idea that if I witness to 10 people, I expect 10 people to believe and accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And if they don't, then I didn't do a good job. I messed up. You know, something's wrong with it must have been my presentation, right? Sometimes people, if they witness and share Jesus with 10 people and not one believes and accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then they walk off kind of just kicking themselves and it's like, oh, it's just terrible, it's awful, I didn't do a good job. Sometimes when someone's witnessing and sharing Jesus with somebody and someone makes a decision to believe and accept Jesus, they're like, yeah, and they're patting themselves on the back and like, hey, Mr. Bob, I saved this one, I saved that one. I'm thinking, were they about to get hit by a car? You know, did you pull them out of the way? Did you pull them out of the water because they couldn't swim and put them back on the boat? You know, what did you save them from? Mr. Bob, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I meant. Well, I did. But there's a lot of things we meant to say that we don't say. A lot of things that we say, and we say it one way, and people hear and take it just like we said it. And it really, it was intended to be completely different. When I'm witnessing, if your idea of witnessing is on, the problem with that is it's on you. I'm going to share Jesus with 1 or 10, and we have the idea that it's somehow based on the eloquence of speech, my presentation, how good of a job I do. And I want you to know that it cannot be about you or me. It can't be how good of a job I did. It's got to be a love and a concern for the soul, the person we're talking to, and whether they're going to be in heaven. When I'm witnessing or sharing Jesus with somebody, I'd much rather the person walk out the door knowing they're lost and walk out the door thinking they're going to heaven for a wrong reason. I'll say that again. If I'm witnessing and sharing Jesus with somebody, I'd much rather them walk out the door knowing they're lost than walk out the door thinking they're going to heaven for a wrong reason. When a person has conviction of sin and sees their need for Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have an understanding they're halfway there than the person who says, I'm going to heaven because I'm good, versus the person who says, I'm not going to heaven because I'm bad. The idea of understanding, when it comes to the individual, conviction of sin, do they see their need for Jesus? Is it them calling on Jesus to be saved? If my idea of counseling is, do you love Jesus? Do you want to go to heaven and pray this prayer? Again, that is me. Can I get them to make a decision to nod their head? It'd be like me saying, do you like this? You want this? Would you like it? You can have it. I'm giving away the answer I want by the expression on my face, the way I nod my head, the way I ask the question. Do you want this? Do you really want this? You sure you want this? Really? Sometimes our expression, we give away the answer we want back. When I'm witnessing to somebody, it can't be my decision for them. It has to be what they recognize their sinner and see their need for a Savior. I'm wanting to see them in heaven. I'm wanting them to know for sure that they understand. I do more of a job of pointing people to heaven, the right direction, than I do. Sometimes people say, well, Mr. Bob, you save. And I'm like, no, I don't. I can't. It's not possible. You know what? My number one job is not to save people. My number one job is to clear up misunderstandings. It's my number one job. To give a presentation of the gospel that clears up misunderstandings. Sometimes people think I'm getting to heaven this way or that way or the other way. Well, it doesn't matter your way to get to heaven or my way to get to heaven. It matters God's way, and He only has one. There is no other way to get to heaven. So I want to point people in the right direction to clear up misunderstandings. It's important that it's not about me. It's got to be about the person that I'm witnessing to and talking to, that I care for their soul. Now, I use a book of colors. The message of salvation, the gospel, never changes. You know, the first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're referring to the eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus. It's the good news. Now, I don't know too many people that, like, you know, I get to share good news today. I mean, isn't that great? I love sharing good news. I mean, it's kind of even hard to pretend, like, guys, I hate to tell you this. I've got to share with you some good news. Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I'm going to try my best to share with you some some good news today. I mean, it's hard for me to say that even without smiling. I mean, I get to share good news. You get to share the good news. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God has put a hope in you, the hope of heaven. And we're always be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within us. You may say, I'm not a preacher, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a this, I'm not a that. If you're a child of God, you have called on the name of Jesus to be saved from your sin, to be His child, to have a home in heaven, to be forgiven. You have everything that you need to share the good news with somebody else. The only question is whether you will be obedient. Sometimes we're satisfied with standing on the promises instead of carrying out the commandments of God. God has said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's good news. And we should share others with others. Now, I'm used to working with children. I am a child evangelist in a fellowship. Child Evangelism Fellowship is a fellowship of people from different Bible-believing churches for the purpose of evangelizing, not saving, evangelizing, which means proclaiming God's word in a simple, clear way, yes, to children, giving them opportunity to hear, understand, believe, and respond. That's really what we're called to do as the church. I believe if I can share the gospel simple enough for a child to get it, I can share it simple enough for anybody to get it. I've had adults sit in our classes and say, I've heard this my whole life, but I've never heard it shared so simply or so clearly. So I like that opportunity. And when I share with you today the good news, I'm going to share with you some of the do's and don'ts, some of the things to look out for on a child's level, because it will help you with anybody you talk to. So many of our teenagers and adults have heard church language and that they need to hear it in a simple, clear way. If you're going to be a missionary to China, it's good to know Chinese. If you're going to be a missionary to Russia, it's good to know Russian. If you're going to be a missionary to children, it's good to know Childrenese. It's like a foreign language. Any of you that have worked with children before, I actually remember in choir one time, Miss Beth said, she told one of her children's teachers, if you believe half of what they tell you about me, I believe half of what they tell me about you. The idea that sometimes things can get lost in translation. One of those examples would be the idea, if you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. And if you're a child, you think, well, that was easy, right? Or they see someone walk down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand, and everybody's talking about that person's a Christian, a child of God, saved, going to heaven, whatever terminology they're using. And the child's thinking, if I could just walk down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand, then I'd be going to heaven. Or the waters of baptism. Someone goes to the waters of baptism, they come out, and everybody's talking about that person's saved, a child of God, a Christian. They've asked you whatever terminology they're using. And the child's thinking, if I could just go through that water, then I'd be going to heaven. Now, is that a misunderstanding? Well, sure it is. It's something that needs to be cleared up. Surely it wasn't just shaking the preacher's hand or just going through the water that saved them, that took away sin, that helped them to know for sure they're going to heaven. Those were all things that were done because of the decision to believe and receive Jesus that should have taken place in the heart. It can be an outward showing of what should have already taken place in the heart. So how do we explain on a child's level children's needs? Well, I use a book of colors. How many of you have ever seen one of these before? I have a pretty good collection. I'll use a bigger one. So what's different about it? When people, yes, okay. I'm used to working with children. You can answer. Yeah, it doesn't have any pages. Sometimes people say it, they might say, "What doesn't have pictures? There's something missing. How could you read it? It doesn't have any words. It's called a wordless book. And even though it doesn't have any words, all different colors, it tells the most wonderful true story in the whole world because it comes from God's Word, the Bible. Now, this is a simple tool. Is this the gospel? The answer is no. The gospel is in God's Word. And it's same yesterday, today, and forever. The message of salvation never changes. Are there different methods to share it? Romans Road, sharing Jesus without fear, an evangel cube, your testimony, the example of creation. Sure, there are lots of different ways. I use a book of colors, and maybe in Sunday school when you were younger, you've seen this before. You did it in a bracelet form with the same colors. I actually have the bracelets down front today if you'd like one to remember the story and to use as a conversation topic. I also have John 3:16 coins that are in the basket right here at the altar that are a great conversation piece. I've given some. I've got a gift for you. Well, what is that? Well, it's a coin. It has my favorite Bible verse on it. It has John 3:16. Use it as a witnessing tool. A way to conversation starter. When I use the book and I ask those questions, have you ever seen a book like this before? I get you looking my way. When I ask you how is it different from most books, you actually consider how it's different from other books you've seen before. First, you engaged your eyes. Second, I engaged your brain. You're thinking about it, comparing it to other books. Well, I like to start with the gold page. It reminds me of a wonderful place called heaven. You know, in heaven, there's a street of gold. Could you imagine if the street out here was paved in gold? There'd be a lot of people out here trying to dig it up and take it home with them, wouldn't there? But in heaven, there really is a street of gold, pearly gates, mansions. There are angels in heaven. In heaven, there's no sickness, no earaches or toothaches or tummy aches or headaches. Heaven is a great place. But the best thing about heaven is whose home it is. It's God's home, and He wants you and me to be there with Him. Now, when I first talk about the gold page, I'm talking a few wild things about heaven. It's not an exact science, but just some of the great things about heaven. But I make the transition, but the best thing about heaven is it's whose home it is. It's God's home. Because the gold page is not just heaven, it's God. And that's who I want to describe. We call it painting a picture with words. I want to put it the cookies on the bottom shelf where the kids can grasp and understand it. And I'll talk about how that God is the one who made everything. The grass, the trees, the sunshine, the rain. He made all the different kinds of animals. He made the people. He made you and He made me. We didn't happen by a big bang or big accident or big mistake. God, He spoke and He made you and me and He loves you very much. And He wants you to be in heaven with Him. God doesn't make any mistakes. He is perfect. Doesn't make any junk. And He loves you. He wants you to be with Him. John 3:16, my favorite Bible verse, the first part of that verse says, "For God so loved the world." It is. Not just the ground to walk on. Sometimes to the eyes of a child, they see it as the continents, the geography, the mountains, the oceans. But when God so loved the world, it is the people. You can put your name in that verse. I can put my name. For God so loved, Mr. Bob. For God so loved, you can put your name right there. And the person you're talking to, you want them to realize it's personable. That God loves you and He wants you to be in heaven. Now, in describing God, children know how people are. Some people say you can't teach children abstracts. Things you can't see, touch, taste, feel. What we do is we use a comparison. Have you ever tried to get on your best behavior for somebody? You know, make sure your hair is just right. Make sure you smell good, your teeth brush. You know, you know you're going to meet somebody or see somebody and you want them to like you, to accept you. And so you try to pretty up, you know, and you're trying to make a good impression. God, He knows how we are when our hair is not combed, our teeth's not brushed, when we're not on our best behavior, and He chooses to love you and me anyway. He does. Sometimes you may have had someone that liked you one day, your best friend one day, not your best friend the next day, didn't like you the next day. I mean, children know how people are, but that's not how God is. God loved you yesterday. He loves you today. He'll love you tomorrow. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That He loves you. People are this way. God is this way. We're using a comparison. We want children, teenagers, adults, to have a better picture of God. Most people, when you talk to them about God, they automatically go to their father figure. And if their father figure was a good figure or a bad figure, it usually taints very much their idea of God. And so God is one, when you explain that, when you're describing God, God loves us as a father should. He is always there for us. He does always love us. Again, you're not comparing Him to the earthly father, but you're saying that He is the example of what one should be like. They know how people are. We're giving them who God is. God loves you and He wants you to be with Him in heaven. But then to speak the truth in love, because you know there's, to have good news, you have bad news. And that there's one thing that you and I have that can't be in heaven. You know what that is, right? The Bible says it's sin, S-I-N. The dark page reminds us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Did you know a lot of crime is committed at nighttime when people think nobody's looking, nobody's watching? They forget that God sees just as good in the nighttime as He does the daytime, and He knows the thoughts we think just as good as He does the words that come out of our mouth. Sometimes when boys and girls get ready to do something they're not supposed to be doing, sometimes they're looking to see if mom or dad's watching. Sometimes they're looking to see if the teacher's watching. Sometimes they're even looking to see if the policeman's watching. You know, that's bad. But they forget to look the most important direction. Because God, He's looking all the time. He knows about your sin and my sin. He's written about it in the Bible. Romans 3:23 says, "For all," and that's all of us, "have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sin is not the good things we do, but the wrong things we do. It separates us from God. It cannot be in heaven. There is a punishment for sin. But even like Romans 6:23 that says the wages of sin is death, it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The idea that God does not give us the bad news without hope. But why do some people have trouble with this fact about sin? I mean, we don't like for someone to point out when we've messed up, right? We don't usually like to announce it. I'm reminded of a comic clip of these church came to the pastor. They had a petition on his desk. Said they didn't want to be called sinners. They wanted to be called morally challenged. You know, they didn't like the phrase that they were sinners. The idea is that we don't like to admit. Sometimes children have the idea that a sinner is someone who robs banks and kills people. And if your idea that that's a sinner, then you're like, well, that's them, that's not me. It's really easy for us to put sinners in a different category than us, right? That's somebody else. Not. Sometimes children will have the idea that a sinner is someone who's bad all the time. And I've had children tell me, "Mama says I'm good." Now, I wanted to look at them and say, "Your mama lied to you," but I don't. Speak the truth in love. But they say, "Mama says I'm good." The verse I want to quote is Romans 3:10. There's none good, no, not one. But again, all of us, if I have the idea that a sinner is someone who's bad all the time, and I can remember moments of goodness, then I can excuse myself from being one of those, a sinner. When you're explaining sin to someone, do they have to recognize what sin is and that they're a sinner to understand the gospel message? The answer is yes. You know, it's not politically correct to teach someone that they're a sinner. It's not politically correct. You know you're going to hurt their self-esteem. It's not politically correct, but it is biblically correct. If a person doesn't recognize what sin is and that we are sinners, they will never see their need for the Savior. They may know He was born in a manger, died on the cross, but they'll never know why. They won't understand the why Jesus died if they don't recognize what sin is and that you and I are sinners and it separates us from God. When God says that you and I are sinners, is He saying that we're bad every moment of every day? The answer is no. Do you know what God is saying? Is that we're not good every moment of every day. All of us have done wrong at one time or another. we're really good at comparing ourselves to others. Well, I'm not as bad as those boys and girls, or I'm not as good as those boys and girls. But God doesn't grade on a curve. He doesn't compare us to the person sitting next to you. God compares us to Himself, and compared to God, we come far short. We're not good like God is good. We're not good every moment of every day. All of us have done wrong. Not one wrong thing can be in heaven. It separates us from God. It's why these two pages are on opposite sides of the book. You might say, well, Mr. Bob, if all of us have sinned before, and all of us have, and not one sin can be in heaven, well, how can we get there? We can't. We cannot get there on our own. Aren't you glad God did not leave us on our own? He didn't. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. It's Jesus who left heaven and came to earth, born as that little baby in the town of Bethlehem in a manger that we celebrate at Christmas time. The gold page, again, is describing God and who God is. The dark page is mankind's page. It's your page and my page that are separated from God because of the wrong things that we do, see, and think. Now, do we sin? Are we sinners because we sin? Or do we sin because we're sinners? That is, that we're born with that want to do wrong. No one had to teach us how to be bad. People try to teach us how to be good and how to do what's right, but no one had to teach us how to be bad. We do that just fine by ourselves. So the dark page, sin, is you and me, separated from God. But God so loved the world, you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son. It's Jesus. Now that Jesus came to this earth as the baby in the manger, He lived a perfect life. He never said wrong, thought wrong, did wrong. God's perfect Son. Why is that important? Because when He would go to the cross, He wouldn't be going for His sins. He'd be going for yours and mine. The fact that Jesus, the sinless, perfect Son of God. As Jesus grew older, He did lots of wonderful things called miracles, things only God could do. Yes, He made people couldn't see, it was see, and people couldn't walk and walk. He even stood outside of a man's grave who'd been dead for 4 days and called out His name. Lazarus, come forth. And He came out all wrapped up in His grave clothes. Wouldn't that have been pretty amazing to see? Wow, some of the kids say that'd be scary. Yeah, it'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? But that's not the most amazing thing that Jesus did. One day He let wicked, evil men laugh at Him and make fun of Him. He let them spit in His face and pull out His beard. He let them put that crown of thorns in His head and whip Him with whips on His back. Yes, even drive the nails into His hands and His feet. And they nailed Him to a wooden cross and hung Him in the air to die. You might think, how terrible, how awful. You might wonder, why would Jesus, God's Son, let Him do that? You know, He didn't have to. It wasn't because the soldiers were bigger than He was. It wasn't because they had swords. It wasn't because there's more of them. Jesus had the power to stop them. He could have called the angels down out of heaven to stop the soldiers if He wanted to. He could have come right off the cross if He wanted. He could have spoken the words and the soldiers fell down just like that. But He didn't, did He? He hung there and He died for a very special reason. And that reason was for boys and girls like you and me. The Bible says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. It says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried and He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That little phrase, according to the Scriptures, you know what it reminds us of when Paul said that in 1 Corinthians? He said it to the church in Corinth. And he said, "For I deliver unto you first of all that which I've also received, how that Christ died for our sins," and then that phrase, "according to the Scriptures." It reminds us it happened not by accident, not by mistake. His blood was not spilt. His life was not taken. It was planned on purpose with you and me in mind. He did it just like God said He would hundreds of years before in the Old Testament. No accident. That He would be buried, that the stone would roll away. We would celebrate Easter time. The stone would be rolled away. Jesus would come out alive. People would eat with Him, talk with Him, touch Him. You can't find His body or His bones in a grave somewhere. Jesus is alive today, and He wants to forgive you and me of our sins. But we need to believe in Him. The idea of sharing Jesus with a lost and dying world that desperately needs hope, needs a way of forgiveness. You ever done something, said something, thought something you shouldn't have done, said or thought, and you needed forgiveness? Something that just, I'm sorry, wouldn't fix? The only person that can forgive us is the one who paid the price and died for us. a lot of children will have this wrong idea, this thing that we're trying to clear up misunderstandings, remember, when we're witnessing the people. Children will have, well, they hear the Christmas story and they hear all the miracles of Jesus. And sometimes they'll have the idea that Jesus came and did all these great things, and then those mean men ended all the good things he was doing by killing him. And when we share Jesus, it has to be that Jesus came, yes, as the baby in the manger. But the reason he came was to go to the cross. Not an accident. It was on purpose for you and me. That was part of God's plan. If on the evening news, you were told about a house fire downtown Raleigh, and you were told about a police officer or a fireman, that they run into the house and they pull this person out and save that person. They run into the house and they pull this person out and they save that person. And they run into the house and they don't come out. They'd be on the evening news as a hero, wouldn't they? That they'd given their life to save the lives of others. The disciples tried to talk Jesus out of going to Jerusalem. Don't go over there. Jesus said, I must. It was part of the plan. He went to the cross with you and me in mind to give his life, to lay it down for your sins and my sins. I hope you don't get over that. Wow. That he would do that for me. I deserve that. If I'd had the nails put in my hands and my feet and I had been nailed to the cross, it wouldn't help you or do you any good. I'd be getting what I deserve. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a gift that God wants to give you. Jesus paid for it. If we went through the grocery store line and you had your groceries, and I pay the cashier for your groceries, would you still try to pay the cashier for your groceries? Wouldn't make a lot of sense, would it? I've already paid for them. What do you need to do? What's left? To accept the gift, to say thank you. Jesus paid for your sins and my sins on the cross. And so many people reject and don't accept. Sometimes it's told in a way almost as though, well, Jesus died for everybody, so everybody's going to heaven. We don't mean to. We don't clear up the misunderstanding. Sometimes we say it in a way as though Jesus died for everybody, as if everybody's going to heaven, right? Not everybody has believed and accepted Jesus. The clean page reminds us about the decision to believe and accept Jesus. It doesn't happen by accident. Doesn't happen by mistake. The only person that can believe and accept Jesus for you is you. If you haven't done it, it hasn't been done. It doesn't happen by accident. When we explain the idea that sometimes people think, I've got to become a Christian, I've got to be saved, I've got to ask Jesus into my heart, I've got to be a child of God, I've got to do a whole lot to get to heaven. We know they're all descriptive of one event, of what you do with Jesus. And the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John 1, 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He's the only one that can forgive us. Soap and water can take dirt off your face and off your hands, but can't take sin out of your heart. Only Jesus can do that, because He's the one that paid the price for you. When I was little, I learned words that weren't proper anywhere, especially in a Christian school, at my granddaddy's store, Wimpy's. And I went to school and I used those words. I didn't really know what the words meant, but I liked the expressions I got on people's faces when I used them. And so my first grade teacher, Mrs. Story, she grabbed me by the ear one day. And she carried me over to the sink and introduced me to a bar of soap. And I had used soap under here and under here, but never in there before. And she made me take the bar of soap, and I had to bite off the corner of a bar of soap and threw it up. I had to open my mouth. She took the wash rag. I had to go, she took the wash rag, went inside my mouth. I had to take water and swish around, spit it out, swish around, spit it out. I thought I would never get that taste out of my mouth. It was terrible. Now, did it take away the bad things I had said? I wish they could have. I wish they could have taken them back out of those people's ears. But I couldn't. It made me think twice before I did it again. It did. I didn't like the taste of soap. But it can't take away the wrong things we've done. Soap and water can't take. Only Jesus is the one who paid the price for our sins. So the clean page reminds us of the decision to believe in Jesus. I'm going to show you our verse we started with, John 3:16, which I have the coin for you can use as a way to witness. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To not perish, but have everlasting life. What does God say in John 3:16? It says that whosoever believeth in Him. Believing in Jesus must be pretty important, right? It's a matter of life and death to believe in Jesus. Some people use the word believe like I believe I'll go here, or I believe I'll go there, or I believe it's going to rain, or I believe it's not going to rain. The word believe is a stronger word than that in the Bible. I like the word believe in sign language. If you take your right hand, point the side of your head, clasp your hands in front, and bring it to you. Can you try that with me? Take your right hand, point the side of your head, clasp your hands in front, and bring it to you. That's the word believe in sign language. Believing is more than just knowing about Jesus, but to take Him as your very own. You can know that you've done wrong. You can know Jesus died for you. You can know He's alive and still miss heaven. It's possible to know a lot about Him and not be going. There used to be a track talking about missing heaven by 24 inches, the distance between a person's head and a person's heart. The difference between knowing about Jesus and believing and receiving Jesus. The idea, it's not enough just to know. There has to be a time where you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've done that, you'd remember where it was, when it was. It doesn't happen by accident. The only person that can believe and accept Jesus for you is you. If you haven't done it, it hasn't been done. You would have remembered where you came to the point where you were broken. God, I've done wrong. God, I've said wrong. I've thought wrong. God, I can't get to heaven on my own. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins and took my place and my punishment. And I believe He's alive today and ask You to forgive me and to save me. God, He knows if you're sincere. He'll hear and He'll answer with a yes answer. And He'll forgive you those sins and wash them away so you can be with Him in heaven. Has there been a time where you've done that? A lot of cults and false religions today, people want to get to heaven and feel good about it. Look what I did. When I ask people, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I usually get the yes, I am, to the no, I'm not, to I don't know. Even some of the times when I get the, when people say, I don't know, and I ask them, why are you not sure? They say, well, I'm working on it. I'm trying really hard. And we're going to get our shovel and we pretend to dig a little bit deeper. And I try to ask more questions. I don't just leave it at the surface answer. I find out that they're trying to be good enough, go to church enough, say enough prayers, give enough money. They're trying to do something enough to get to heaven. And I'm speaking the truth in love, caring for their soul. I remind them that it'll never be enough. There's nothing we can do enough to take away sin. If there was something that I could do to get to heaven, then why would Jesus have to go through all that suffering, pain on the cross? He could have let us get to heaven one of those other ways, right? But what did Jesus say? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. There can't be your way, my way, and their way to get to heaven. There's only God's way, and He only has one. The number one job we can have of witnessing to someone is to clear up misunderstandings, to point them to who God is and His love for them, to who we are and what separates us from God and can't be in heaven. A clear picture to what God did for us so we could get to heaven by sending Jesus, who paid the price for us. But then, what do they need to do? They need to call on the name of Jesus. They need to believe. John 3:16 reminds us to believe on Jesus, to not perish, but have everlasting life. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 1:12 says, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It's always, always, when you're going to heaven, always comes down to, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? Pointing people to Jesus. There is no other way, no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's at His name every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. So trying to clear up those misunderstandings, I can't point someone else to heaven unless I know I'm going. My prayer for you is, first of all, that you know that you're going to heaven, and then you would point other people to heaven. When I believed and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, did God take me to heaven right that second? I'm still here, right? I'm ready. I'm ready for you to come back, right? Or call me home. But until He comes back to get me or calls me home, I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful to give, to share, to point people to heaven through Jesus. I don't want to be any misunderstanding. I don't want to be cloudy water, muddy water. I want to be clear, simple. To take the opportunity to care for souls, to point them to Jesus. You know, there's a cover to the book. It's the green page. And it has nothing to do with getting to heaven. It's after you know you're going, how to grow. And there are five ways I want to show you on your hands how to grow as a Christian. First one is reading the... That's where our story came from today. It didn't come from Mr. Bob. It came from the Bible. Reading the Bible. God speaks to me. When you open the Bible, God opens His mouth. Learn at His feet. Read the Bible. It's how to grow as a Christian. Number two is prayer. Prayer is talking to God. First and most important, when we believe and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and have a relationship with Him. But then we can talk to Him about the good things that happen to us, the things we need to help with. Talking to God. To pray without ceasing. Number three is going to church and Sunday school to learn more about God and be with other Christians. My granddaddy taught it to me this way. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors. And there's all the people. Anybody else ever seen that before? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors. There's all the people. Do we need to be in church? To be with other Christians? To learn? We do. Number four is telling other people about Jesus. Witnessing. Isn't that what we're doing today? Encouraging you to do that. It's the best news in the whole wide world. If you've believed and accepted Jesus and know for sure you're going to heaven, you don't want to keep it a secret. You want to tell as many people as you can. Be creative. Find ways to get their attention. You can have a bracelet that has the same color as the beads. You can have a coin that's got John 3:16 on it. I'm sure you can come up with other ways than that. But be faithful, in season, out of season, to always be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within you. Tell people about Jesus. Care for their souls enough. It can't be about you or me. It's got to be about caring for them, to get to them, to reach them. Number five is giving. Giving. Jesus gave everything for us. We can give our time, our talents, our treasures. We can give to show on the outside that Jesus is on the inside. Five ways how to grow as a Christian. Can you do them with me again? Reading the prayer, church, telling others, and giving. If you do those in your hands, it'll help you remember it. It will. It helps children of all ages. 20 people. But those are five ways how to what? To grow as a Christian. Those are not five ways to get to heaven. A lot of people get that confused. You'll hear it a lot. I remind them, those are not five ways to get to heaven. Why? They won't take away sin. Only one person paid the price for our sins, and He's the only one that can forgive us. Don't miss God's one way to get to heaven. When you share Jesus, when you carry out the Great Commission, when you give an account of the hope that lies within you, it's the best thing you can do for you to be obedient to your Heavenly Father, to be about His business. But it's the best thing you can do for all those around you. What better gift could you give somebody than to show love for their soul enough to tell them God's one way to get to heaven? It's the best thing you can do for you. It's the best thing you can do for those around you. I encourage you to do that. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I tell boys and girls, this is you and God time. You don't have to have your head bowed and your eyes closed to talk to God, but it helps to keep out the distractions. Do you remember where you were when you believed and accepted Jesus? Do you remember where it was? Do you remember humbling yourself before God, admitting to God your sin, calling on Jesus to save you? Do you know for sure if something was to happen to you today that you'd be in heaven? With just myself and the staff looking around with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask, today. If you know you've sinned, if you know Jesus died for you, if you know Jesus is alive, you know enough, but just knowing it won't get you to heaven. Have you called on Jesus? Have you believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you would like to talk to someone about that today, raising your hand won't save you. But if you'd like to talk to someone about believing and accepting Jesus today, would you show me by raising your hand? Just myself and the staff looking around. Just between you and God, if you would like to talk with one of us today about believing, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just show me by raising your hand. If you are a child of God today, you know for sure you're going to heaven. But you've been challenged today to witness, to give an account of that hope that lies within you. If you've been better equipped today, you've been challenged, maybe there's a soul God has put on your heart today. That person that you need to tell about Jesus. That person that you need to clear up some misunderstandings with. Maybe they think they're getting to heaven some other way, and you need to talk to them. Do you have that person on your mind, your heart today? Will you ask God to help you to be a better witness, to share Jesus, to care for souls, to be about His business? If you make that commitment today, would you show me by the same sign? Just between you and God, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, but just to raise your hand that you're committing, I'm going to be a better witness. I've got a soul I want to tell about Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. God, this is your hour. This is your place, your church, we're your people. May you have your will and your way in us. May we be different when we leave and we came in. May we not leave this commitment at the door or the altar. But Lord, may our relatives, may our co-workers, may our friends, family, may those in our community know that we are Christians by our love one for another and that we love them enough, care for their soul enough that we will not keep silent. That yes, we'll stand on your promises, but we'll carry out your commandments. We will tell them about Jesus. May we be faithful. May you get the honor and the glory from our lives and from our time well spent together this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.